Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed. Hallelujah. We got to call on God. Are you getting your phone out? Your spiritual phone. It's called prayer. Hallelujah. You can call him up with your spiritual. Hallelujah. Phone. You know, we say take it to the throne and not the phone. But when you're using your spiritual phone, you're taking it to the throne. And that spiritual phone is called prayer. You can call him up with your spiritual phone. With your spiritual phone, you can call him up. And that spiritual phone is called what? Prayer. And this is what we're about to do, pray. You know, I have gotten a daily prayer protection. And it came from Prophetess Dr. Jolynn Whitaker. And I said it on yesterday, and I say it today. And I will do my best to say it every morning because I believe that God wants to secure us. God wants to secure our borders. God wants to secure our homes. God wants to secure everything around you. And the word, God, that came to her that I give to you is this. As we take it to the spiritual foe, we got to call him up and tell him what we want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Lord, thank you. And the word that God has given me this morning is with your spiritual phone, prayer. Call him up and tell him, tell God. What you need with Jesus. The Lord is my God. I am blessed and covered by him. My borders are secure. My home is protected. Angels encamp around me and my home. No harm shall befall me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I am safe in God. His very name is a strong tower. And I want to say, Yahweh, thank you. The righteous run into him and are safe. The Lord contends with those who contend with me. Enemy agendas against me are powerless, for King Jesus is far superior. I am surrounded by a supernatural hedge of protection. In Jesus' name, I pray, Father God, thank you for another day. Thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, for giving us strength in our bodies, giving us an opportunity, Lord, to sing your praises, an opportunity to just wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, for bringing my family through yesterday. Lord God, I know you did it. I know you brought us through. I know you are Jehovah. You are Yahweh. You are my friend. And you call me friend. I thank you for being my friend, God. I thank you for being my Savior, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being that landline that I can use to call up Father God, that I can talk to my daddy every day. And it's called through prayer, God. I thank you for giving us prayer that we can call you up. We can tell you what we need. We can tell you what we want. We can just say, hello, Daddy, how are you today? I'm just calling to say I love you. Father God, I'm just calling because I love you. You are my Father. You are my friend. And I'm so grateful for my blessings. I'm so grateful for the blessing of the breath of life. I'm so thankful that you have given me a heart, a mind, and a spirit, Lord. Let me continue being in my right mind, Lord God, because I don't want to give a piece to anybody. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as I pray every day, Father God, please increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I lift up this word this morning. This word, I lift it up to you, God. Ask you, Lord, to take control and hide me behind you as you speak through me. Let these words be your words, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to my Father, the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. 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 Honor to God. And the word that God gave me this morning was, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Call to me. Not call Sister Shirley. Not call Boo Boo and them down the street. Don't call, you know, don't call that Usher girl. You know who I'm talking about. Sister Susie, who don't play. That Sister Susie will give you a look that will make your hair stand on end. Sister Susie, who can have her moments where she will stick you in the back of the church and don't even look at, and the church, the rest of the church can be empty, but she will stick you in the back because she's going to look at you. And, you know, she got saved, y'all. So Susie got saved. And, you know, she now is head usher, and she, you know, she used to be usher. Now, y'all know that. And y'all know she used to look folks up, look folks down, give them a stink eye when they come into church and wonder why folks don't come back. Because Sister Susie had to get a little talking to. You know, the pastor had to give her an understanding that you are in a position of high authority. You are a watchman on the wall. And you can't be looking at folks like they low down and dirty and don't need to be in the house of God. Because the most low down and the most dirty are the ones that need to be here. Because Jesus said, I didn't call for the righteous, I came for the sinner. So who are you to make the sinner stay outside and let the righteous come in? Come on now. So Susie had to get a self-evaluation. And now she don't play as an usher. Hallelujah. And the righteous, you might be in the back. But I tell you something, God is giving her a discerning eye, and she don't play. So anyway, that is my commentary on our moving forward, women and men of God. But we don't want to talk about the ones that are quite not there yet. We won't talk about Boo Boo and them today because we got a lot of word to get to. So let's get started, family. And I tell you, prayer changes things. And what God gave me this morning was that, you know, I always say, take it to the throne and not the phone. But God said, you got to take it to the phone, that spiritual phone, because that spiritual phone takes you directly to the throne. And then I said, the spiritual phone, and the spiritual phone is prayer. And we got to do it. You know how you try to say, oh, I am not going to say, I need a rest. And so you don't go to prayer meeting. You know, I'm speaking on me. I can't talk about anybody but myself. You know, it's like this is my only day off. You know, I got to go to choir rehearsal. I can pray right here at home. I don't need to go to corporate prayer. But I'll go maybe for a minute or two just before choir rehearsal. And, you know, I started getting convicted about that. And what God said is you can do everything. You can stay up half the night listening to YouTube, and I call it other people's business. And I'm being honest. There's a YouTube out there that's called Reddit. And what it does is it's Reddit. Am I behind? But it's in the form of Reddit reading the letters out loud. And some of these situations are pretty interesting. You know, you got cheating husbands coming in with the women they cheating with and telling the wife, you got to go. You got to get out of this house and all these different things. And I'm like, why am I listening to other people's business? You know, but it's quite interesting what people will put on the internet. It's quite interesting what people will go out there and say about themselves. They taking it to Reddit, taking it to God. And so as I listen to these stories, and, you know, some are pretty outrageous, you know, where you have children that are disrespectful and then children that are good, but the good kid is the one that's treated like dirt, and the disrespectful kid is the one that's given the sun and the moon and the sky. And then when the kid that you didn't give the attention to does really well, then you want to come back and claim them as your child. I was like, whoa, Lord, it's a lot out here. And so I'm like, Lord, why do people act like this? Why do they take it to Reddit and don't take it to Jesus? And so I got this thing where I'm listening to this stuff, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm definitely becoming a thorn. So it's about time I think I'm going to have to leave that alone. Think I have to take a YouTube break because, again, listening to other people's business. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to listen to him. Take it to the spiritual phone, which takes you to the throne. You got to call him up, and he will answer. So let's get into the word. This morning we're coming out of Jeremiah chapter 33, which is where our title comes from, through chapter 34, verse 22. Our psalm this morning is which is the 119th psalm, verses 57 through 64. Our proverb this morning is from the 27th proverb, verse 21. And we are in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So what? Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles because this is Bible study, y'all. And again, the number to call your friends. As they say, this time you can take it to the phone and tell your friends to call 213-943-3597. And for those that want to have a word, say a word or read a word, so you have to push that number 1 on your phone. So let's get started, y'all. And the word of God came to Jeremiah. And it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, come on now, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Come on now. Call him up, and he will show you great things and mighty things which you do not know. That's God. But thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the house of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mound and the sword. They come to fight with the Galileans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, all for whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me, come on, Lord, you better speak, a name of joy, of praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I will provide for it. Thus says the Lord again. There shall be heard in this place of which you say it is desolate, without man and without beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and are desolate without man and without inhabitants and without beasts. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts. Can y'all say that with me? Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and for his mercy endures forever. And I love the fact that Israel Houghton uses, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And then he'll say it again. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You know, we got to say it again. Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all its cities, there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down in the cities of the mountains of the lowland, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah. The flock shall again pass under the hand of him who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the Lord, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. All I got to say to you this morning is, what's his name? And we know his name is Jesus. And it says, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called. This is Jerusalem, the Lord of righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priest, the Levite, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, that my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, have you not considered what these people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen has also cast them off. They have despised my people as if they should no more be a nation before them. Wow. You would think that Jeremiah is writing this way today with all the turmoil going on in Jerusalem, in Gaza, all through the Middle East. Turmoil. You would think this word was written today. It says, thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob and David, my servant, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I will cause their captives to return and will have mercy on them. And as we go back to chapter 33, I have some life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley. And for those that are saying, why Dr. Stanley? Because the Bible that we are using for moving forward is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. It is a devotional. It is a Bible. It is an education tool. And Dr. Stanley gives us life lessons. And I woke up in the middle of the night, believe it was Sunday night, or it might have been, yeah, it was Sunday night. And Dr. Stanley was on. And all I could do was just look at him. It was an old old word, but it is always a today word. Dr. Stanley was a true man of God. God led me to this Bible. And it says this in Jeremiah 33:6, I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. For such a dark book, Jeremiah has some blinding bright spots. God desires to bring us health and healing, not sickness and injury. He wants to shower us with peace and truth, not keep either from us. Jeremiah 33:9, they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. When will we learn that the heart of God yearns to lavish on his abundant people joy, praise, honor, goodness, and prosperity? He does not wait in heaven just itching for us to fall, but rather longs to do good to us. He is our Father, and he wants that call every day. He wants you to take it to the throne of grace by the phone. We've got to pray. Prayer changes all kind of things. I believe that God can and will change our lives. All we have to do is believe. And as I've been talking prayer this morning, and this is what Dr. Stanley says, answers to life's questions. How can I make my prayer life fresh and new? All up in it. I always laugh about things being in the spiritual realm. Those that were with us on Sunday, you know, the word of God that came to me that morning was iron sharpens iron, coming out of Jeremiah chapter 29. And as we are studying, you know, and we went over our word on Sunday, and, you know, it was, as we say, it was a great word. And, you know, I'm like, wow, God, you are on it. Iron sharpens iron. And then I get to church, and my pastor starts to preach, and her title was Earned, Sharply Earned. I couldn't do nothing more than just sit there and listen. I thought, Lord, look at you. When God puts, and she said, I've been working on something, and then God gave me this morning. Iron sharpens iron. And then when I go back into Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're talking about prayer, it says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Whatever your captivity is, God will bring you back. God will bring you back. He wants to sharpen us. He wants to correct us. He wants to make us the best that we can be. And all I could say was, look at God. Won't he do it? And as Dr. Stanley says, the prophet Jeremiah was not a popular man. No, he wasn't. He got put in prison. When he declared the truth God had given him, that Judah would soon start 70 long years in captivity, the people threw him into prison. Jeremiah said something profound about prayer. Jeremiah learned, just like we are learning as we are going through the book of Jeremiah. Yet in such dire circumstances, I say it again, Jeremiah learned something profound about prayer. Jeremiah 33:1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. It's like in chapter 29, chapter 33, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Prayer is a very real part of a vital relationship with God. It is not for some special spiritual elite. For you, three principles within these verses can transform your own notion about prayer into something fresh and new. First, God says, call to me. He wants to hear from you. He is all loving, often omnipotent heart desires to hear your innermost thoughts and feelings. He wants to hear from you in the hard times and when life is going smoothly. In fact, your sweetest times of prayer happen when you come before him simply to praise and worship and give thanks for what he has done. Ooh! You got to call him up and just say, Father God, good morning. I love you. Don't want nothing. I just wanted to tell you, I love you. That's what I used to do to my godmother. I used to just call her up just to say, Lil, I love you. Henry, I love you. I love my parents. And I would just call them up. We talked every day, and I'd call and say, I love you. And they'd say, Bridget, we love you too. You know, I felt so good knowing that I was loved every day. My husband would call, he called me sometime during the day or every day when he was home. He just give me a hug and say, I love you. And I couldn't say nothing more than I love you too. You know, and it was nice to be loved. I tell you that. And it says, second, God says, I will answer you. Do you believe that? Perhaps you once asked God for something he did not give you. And since then, you have harbored secret worries that he did not hear or did not care to answer. But God himself says to you, I will answer you. That answer may not take the form you anticipate or come when you desire, but he will respond. He might say yes, no, or wait. Come on now. God's not wishy-washy. He's not going to say, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe I will. I'm not sure. No. No. Yes. Wait, you may not understand the reasons behind his answer. Can't trust that they are best for you. Romans 8:28. All things work for good. Whew. For those that trust in the Lord, we got to know that all things are going to work for our good. Third, God says, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You have finite wisdom and understanding. God knows all. He knows the big picture. You see merely a teeny piece. When you ask him to guide you, he works to direct you as a part of his higher vision and calling. We like to say on this show, he wants to keep you in your square. And your square is the light of God. Your square is the ark of safety. Your square is time with God. Third, let's keep it going. If you take the first step of calling out to him, prayer can become an important part of our dynamic relationship with Almighty God. With a dynamic relationship, Almighty God. Do it today. He waits to hear your voice. God wants to hear from his children, just like a parent wants to hear from his sons, hear from his daughters, hear from his grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I love to see it. I work in senior care. And it does something to my heart when you see grandchildren coming by to see their grandparents. When you see grandchildren saying, I just thought I'd call just to tell you I love. Just to tell you I love you. Do you need anything, Grandma? Do you need anything, Grandpa? That is something that is so, it's just something that does something to your heart. We want to hear from you. God wants to hear from you. We've got to call him up and just say, good morning, Dad. Good morning, Father. I'm just happy to be your child. Think about how that feels to you if you are parents or grandparents, just to hear the voice of your children. You know, my oldest son travels to work about an hour and some, and maybe an hour and a half from home. Every evening and night when he gets to work, he sends me a H to say he's here, a H for here, and I send him back a heart to let him know I'm thankful that he made it safely to his destination. And we got to do that. We got to send them hearts to let our children know that we love them as we send that to God. Lord, I'm here. You know, as I told you, my testimony, you know, of my boss, his wife, who I loved to pieces. Like, she was a wonderful, awesome, mighty woman of God. And she developed cancer. And it was caught too late. They did the bone marrow, got better for a while, but she passed away. But as she started getting worse, I would send her cards of encouragement every Monday. When my boss would come to work, I would send a card back home with him every Monday. And the card I had for the Monday that she passed away was a card, and I even have a mug that I found with that saying on it. And it was a picture of a telephone. And on the front of the card, it says, this is God. And when you open it up, it says, and I will be handling all of your problems today. Whew. And as God, he was handling all of her problems because he took her home. No more pain. No more sorrow. Just God. So understand that God handles our situation. Whether he calls you home, whether he leaves you here to do what he calls you to do, we've got to pick up the phone, spiritual phone, call prayer. And as we go into Jeremiah chapter 34, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, all the kingdoms of the earth under his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and all its cities, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. and you shall not escape from his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. Your eyes shall see the eyes of the king of Babylon. He shall speak with you face to face, and you shall go to Babylon. Yea, hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord concerning you. You shall not die by the sword. You shall die in peace as in the ceremonies of your fathers, the former kings who were before you, so that they shall burn incense for you and lament for you, saying, Alas, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, says the Lord. Then Jeremiah the prophet spoke all these words to Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem, when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah that were left against Lachish and Ezekiah. But only these 45 cities remained of the cities of Judah. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should set free his male and female slaves, a Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now when all the princes and all the people who had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should set free his male and female slaves, that no one should keep them in bondage anymore, they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they changed their minds and made the male and female slaves return whom they had set free and brought them into subjugation as male and female slaves. And we all know that some folks tried to do this here in this nation. But God said, no, not today. Not today, Satan. Mm-mm. When I set them free, I set them free. But then they try to hold us in bondage in other ways. But God is in charge, and never forget that. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, 7 years let every man set free his Hebrew brother who has been sold to him. And when he has served you 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. But your fathers did not obey me, nor incline their ear. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight, every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor. And you made a covenant before me in the house, which is called by my name. Then you turned around and profaned my name. And every one of you brought back his male and female slaves, whom you had set at liberty at their pleasure, and brought them back into subjugation to be your male and female slaves. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, every one of his brother, and every one to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine. And I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in half and passed between the parts of it, the princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf, I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life. Their dead bodies shall be for meat for the birds in the heaven and the beasts of the earth. And I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which has gone back from you. Behold, I will command, says the Lord, and cause them to return to this city. They will and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitants. Don't lie to God and don't play. Don't say, Lord, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. If you do this, God, then I'm going to do that. And no, I mean, you don't. He gives you what you have, but you don't keep your part. Don't play. Don't play with God, because he will beat your behind. And I tell you, your spiritual behind. And in some cases, your spiritual behind. You wonder why you're going through, why the body aches while this is happening, because you are getting a spanking. He is not sparing that rod. And then sometimes he is just making us stronger. Through our affliction, we depend upon him. In our psalm this morning, he says, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your word. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimony. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. That's something we got to take to the throne, to that spiritual phone. We got to talk to God on a regular. And it says in Proverbs 27 and 21, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. A man is valued by what others say of him. Do you have a good reputation? Do people speak highly of you? Or are you talked about behind your back? Are you called all kind of names? What do people say about you? You have to do nothing but you say, Lord, let me be a light. Let me bring joy. Let me be hope. Lord, let me represent you. I don't have to be recognized. And sometimes you won't be recognized. You know, and don't get your feelings hurt. Don't get your feelings hurt because recognition by man is not important. What's important is recognition by God. When you walk through those gates and he says, come on in, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what's important. Because folks seek accolades from people. We got to seek accolades from God by doing what thus says Father God. That's how you know what to do. That's when you call him up on a regular so that you know your daddy's voice. That's what prayer does. Take that spiritual phone out. Put those hands together and say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done. We got to do that. And as we go into our 1 Timothy word, please join me in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it says, this is a faithful thing. If a man desires the position of bishop. Now this again is Paul telling us what people should have in order to be in the fivefold ministry. And so today he's talking about bishops. And this is what he said now. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless. The husband, come on now. And that's like, okay, wait a minute, but what if a bishop is a woman? But I don't know too many women bishops, but I know there are some, and they have one husband. And it says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Woo, damn. That should be talked to a whole bunch of bishops out there who want titles and money, but have not had one wife, are not temperate, are not sober-minded, are not on good behavior, are not hospitable, and do not teach the true word of God. So we got to look at all of this, and it says, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence, For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. What happened? The devil got puffed up. Minister of music, angel of music. I am all that. I'm going to call myself like, hey, just call me Lucifer. I got it going on. That was him. And then what did God say? No, Satan, you're behind me. Out of here. False. Angels fighting amongst themselves because somebody got the big head. And folks want to follow after the loudest voice in the room. Not because he was good, but because he was beautiful. He was all that. And he tried to take over heaven, and he found out the hard way. And I love how Jeremiah tells it. Moreover, he must have a good testimony. I'm sorry, Timothy, Paul, Jesus. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach as the snare of the devil. And I got to read that again. That he cannot be a novice. You can't be new. You can't have a new bishop. Lest he being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. One wife, good character, not greedy, not wanting everything, not it being about himself, not puffed up. That's a bishop. And then he tells us about the deacon. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But lest these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. It says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of what? One wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now you know where they got the name for the church of the living God. It came from, and it is verse 15. So again, for those wondering where church of the living God got their name, it came out of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read it again. But if I am delayed, I'll write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And that is the religion, faith I was born into. But I was raised AME. And now I am non-denominational. Because a denominator is a divider. Hallelujah. And it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. And again today, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Are you taking that spiritual phone out and calling the Father this morning? It's called prayer. In 1 Timothy 3:5, if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Before God gives us greater responsibilities in a larger sphere of influence, he requires us to demonstrate our faithfulness with lesser responsibility in a smaller sphere of influence. Wow. Don't get upset when you don't get called, because maybe God is getting you ready. You got to get your own house in order. Hey, I ain't talking to nobody but myself. You know, in 1 Timothy 3:6, let's be puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Satan became the devil through his pride. Once he was an honored and holy angel, created to glorify God, he became that evil one when he became so impressed with himself that he tried to take God's place. We can't do that. You know, you got folks that break up churches because, well, you know, pastor, he didn't preach. He's preaching all kind of stuff. So you got that little group of behind your back folks talking about, well, you know, pastor, always preaching about stuff. Don't nobody want to hear all that hell and damnation stuff. You know, she don't never talk about iron sharpening iron. Instead of talking about we need to be prosperous, he needs to tell us about how we need to prosper, how God is going to bless us, and how we going to get that new car. How we, you know, come on, really? That pastor will be beat down talking about foolishness like that. God is trying to get our attention. That's why he sent that word of iron sharpening iron on Sunday. Tell you, we got to get it together. And in 1 Timothy 3:10, let those who first be tested, then let them serve as deacons. What kind of test does Paul have in mind? What could show a person's readiness for a leadership role? You give them a smaller task, and if they do well and inspire others, they're probably ready for something bigger. I started off as a minister. I started off as a teacher, actually, teaching children's church. And I still teach children's church, even in whatever the position I'm in, which is youth pastor. But I love kids, and I love them to learn the word of God. Just as I do this because I love God, and this is my assignment, to teach his word. We've got to trust God. We've got to start taking that spiritual phone out. Know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Every believer is to bring honor to God, but it is especially important for church leaders to provide a stellar example of faith in action. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. And I say that. Don't play in the house of God, because God will tear you up. Trust God today. Call to me, he tells us, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Are you taking out your spiritual phone this morning and taking it to the throne? It's called prayer. Prayer changes all kind of things. Are you trusting God this morning? Lines are open for anyone who would like to speak this morning, who has a word from God, who just want to say something this morning. If God has given you a word, now is the time to push that one on your phone. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. This morning and yesterday's words, we got a little late after the show, but Lord, thank you, Jesus. All I can say is Sister Carolyn is also in the spiritual wind. She's also taking that prayer, that phone call prayer out, because this is what God gave her yesterday, but it wasn't meant for yesterday. It was meant for today. And the word that God gave our sister in Christ is pray. Until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day. So never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. Have a meditating Monday. And I can tell you, I did. And I had joy. I had a lot of joy yesterday where it used to be darkness and I couldn't get out of bed. I'm thankful for the prayers of the righteous. They do avail much. And it says this, good morning, faith opens the door for God to move. Have a triumphant Tuesday. Prayer with faith. Come on now. With prayer and faith, miracles happen. K Can y'all tell God this morning, thank you, Father. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness, God. Prayer changes all kind of things. Are you calling him up today? Are you leaning on his everlasting arms? Are you just saying, whatever? And the word that God said in my prayer book, I had been in it for a minute, but I just have to go into this word for this 24th day of October. Too much. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, prayer. Call him up. Constant one. You are the one who I depend on in every season and situation. You hold me together when I'm falling apart under the weight of the anxieties of this world. When I'm heartbroken, you reveal my heart. Somehow I find that it has a greater capacity in the end. Where there was deep pain, ooh, this is a word for me, y'all. There is now an even deeper measure of love. When crisis in life cut me down to size, you build me up. I find I am strengthened by the humility and deep joy that results from embracing the process of grief. When profound loss wiped me out, I found rest in your comfort arms. It's where I still turn, even when I couldn't sense you. I know that you were with me. In the light of day, I see your steady presence more clearly than I ever could have in the darkest night. I am so grateful that you brought me through. I thought I was lost in endless darkness. Thank you for never giving up on me. I won't give up on you now. Hallelujah. And this is the, it says, when the weight of life is too much, where do you turn? Wow. You call me, God tells us, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And that is the word, and that is what God has given. I am sitting here totally overwhelmed because whoever wrote this prayer book didn't know my story, but God did. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Woo! A word for me this morning that I shared with you. So this is all I have. Thank you all for listening this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're at one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, in all you do today, pray. Take it to that spiritual phone. Call prayer and call up Daddy God. And if nothing else, just say, Father God, I love you and I thank you for another day. And watch how he will work in your life. Have a great day, family. For me, it's a wrap. I got Bible study to go to. So thank you so much and have a great day. It's a wrap.